Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When the healthcare debate was in full swing in 2009, President Obama promised the American people that even if a new law passes, quote, if you like your healthcare plan, you'll be able to keep your healthcare plan, end quote. But at least 3.5 million people have received cancellation letters from their providers because their plans do not meet the Affordable Care Act requirements. Now, plans are required to include what are called essential health benefits, and they're outlined by 10 categories, including emergency services, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance use disorder services, prescription drugs, lab services, and preventive and wellness services. If you have Blue Shield, you have not received a letter because it has to give customers 3 months to find a new policy. And that's in California. That order came from the California Department of Insurance. But Blue Shield expects to cancel 80,000 policies. There's still so much confusion out there about the law, these cancellations, and the cost of the new plans. So on today's Your Call, we're opening the phone lines to take your questions and to hear your stories. Have you received a cancellation letter? Were you surprised? Did your provider give you any alternatives? Have you used the Covered California site? That is coveredca.com, coveredca.com. We'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today, we are joined by Emily Bazar, senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She covers healthcare policy in California with a focus on ACA implementation. She also writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the Affordable Care Act, and she joins us from the studios of Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. And we're joined by Laura Lucia. She's policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, where she does research on the Affordable Care Act, and Laurel joins me here in studio. Hi, Laurel. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me here.
It's nice to have you. So, first off, let's go over these cancellation letters because they're getting so much attention. At least 3.5 million people have received letters. Some friends who've received these letters said they had two options, either get rid of the plan or pay more. And in some cases, it's up to 50%. So, Laurel, did you expect this to happen? 3.5 million cancellation letters so far?
I didn't expect this number of cancellations to happen. But the reason for it is that Covered California required that insurers make these cancellations of non-grandfathered plans because they were trying to ensure that insurers didn't game the system and keep these healthy people in these plans and keep them out of Covered California, where most people are going to get their individual coverage.
And this is 3.5 million across the country, mm-hmm. with more to come, right? Because I have Blue Shield, and I called them and said, is my plan going to be canceled? And they said no. And then I found out, well, they actually have to wait 3 months, and they're going to cancel 80,000 people. So what can we do to make sure we're not next? Or how do we find out if we're going to be next?
Well, you can call your insurance company to find out. But in terms of the options people have that get these letters, the insurance companies are required to provide an option with that letter. But that's not the only other alternative you have. I encourage people who are getting these letters to check on Covered California, where there are a variety of plans available. And some people who are getting these cancellation letters might be eligible for premium assistance.
Okay. And so here's another thing I learned, thanks to you, Laurel. Before the show, we were talking, and I went to apply just to see how much it would cost me. And I don't like to give my social security number and was kind of surprised that they wanted so much personal information. But what you can do is go to coveredca.com and then click on preview plans. And there they only ask you 4 questions. You don't even have to give your name. And then they'll give you options.
Yeah, that'll give you options specific to your age and your zip code and your income level and tell you how much you'll pay in premiums and also tell you what your out-of-pocket expenses will be when you incur costs for care.
And Emily, did you expect so many people to lose their plans?
You know, I have to admit, I was a little bit dense about this issue early on. I was a little bit perplexed when I kept hearing President Obama talking about people keeping their plans. And that's generally true, again, generally, when we're talking about people who have employer-sponsored insurance, well, like myself. I get insurance through my workplace. And many of us, if not most of us, will have same options available to us. But these people who are getting the cancellations are in the individual market. And as Laurel has said, and as you have said, there are new requirements for coverage that many of these plans on the individual market do not meet. Also, not only requirements for coverage, but many of them don't offer, for instance, preventive services without a copay. And that's something that Obamacare requires. So, yes, it has taken me by surprise. I actually printed up a couple of emails I've received from readers. Like you said, I write a column, a Q&A about Obamacare, and I've gotten 900 emails in the past 6 months. And in the last couple of days, I've gotten a couple from people who have had their policies canceled. Let me know if you would like to hear some of what they say.
Please. Okay. What is most common?
Well, some people, as Laurel mentioned, are going to benefit from the Affordable Care Act. If they get one of these cancellations and they go on Covered California's website, they will find that they qualify for these tax credits, which will lower the cost of their monthly premiums. And these are people that make between 138 and 400% of the federal poverty level. In real terms, I'm going from memory here, so Laurel, please tell me if I'm wrong, but in real terms, for an individual, that's about $46,000 a year and under. And for a family of four, that's about $94,000 a year and under. So those people will get some financial help. I'm hearing from people who are upset who won't get financial help. And this gentleman, I'll read you a little bit of what he said. He's actually in Newport Beach, and he said that my individual policy will be canceled, and I make $800 more per year to qualify for the subsidy. So what he means there is that he just basically misses out on the subsidy. My premium of the policy being canceled is $395 and will be going up to $630. My deductible for the new plan is higher, and my additional benefit of maturity care and free mammograms offers no value to me being a single male age 58. So that's the pertinent part of his email. I mean, he's upset about this. He won't benefit from the financial aid offers. I also received an email this morning from a gentleman in San Clemente, and he says, last month I received a notice from my health net insurer that our PPO plan will be canceled as of December 31st. The cheapest alternative they offer costs double what I now pay, and the options through Covered California do not meet my needs. I feel pretty confident that I know better what is good for myself and my five dependents than does the Federal Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, so I'm hearing success stories from people who are receiving the subsidies because their rates are going down and they'll get better coverage. But then from people who are healthy and maybe have health insurance for catastrophic reasons and really don't go to the doctor very often, they're the ones that are getting hit really hard. And in some cases, seeing their plan going up 40%, because right now I pay like $125 and the cheapest plan I can find through Covered California is $282. That's a huge jump. So is that, am I reading this right?
Well, even for people who aren't eligible for subsidies, some of them actually will be better off in terms of their premiums. Some of them will pay lower premiums because of the requirement that insurers cannot vary premiums based on age as much as they currently are. So some older people will actually see lower premiums even if they're not eligible for subsidies.
So who actually wins through ACA? Who is it good for?
Well, the vast majority of people actually aren't that affected by the ACA because they have job-based coverage and they'll continue to have job-based coverage. There are 2 to 3 million uninsured people in California who are going to have insurance after the ACA who don't currently have insurance now. And then there are going to be some people in the individual market, and the individual market is 6%. Represent 6% of Californians. Some of those will be better off because they get subsidies or because they're newly eligible for Medi-Cal. Some will not be eligible for subsidies but will still see lower premiums, but some will have their premiums increase. And for those individuals, I know that some of them are going to be facing a real hardship in paying higher premiums. Over the longer term, the benefits those people will see is if they actually do get sick, they, you know, will have
insurance now that has minimum standards, so they may end up paying less when they do get sick. So they should look at their overall costs. But the other thing is, right now, insurance companies in the individual market are canceling plans, not right now, but over the last few years, they cancel plans because there are a lot of sick people in those plans. They cancel plans in a way that's meant to keep their costs as low as possible. That's not going to happen anymore in the future. People who are sick are not going to be able to be charged higher premiums, and they're not going to be able to be denied coverage by the individual market.
We have an email from Jenny who says, just because someone's insurance was canceled does not mean they wanted it. I am one of the 3.5 million who, quote, lost their coverage. This year, Aetna nearly doubled my premium for a catastrophic policy from $400 to $725. In the 3 years I've had, this policy has paid for almost none of my health care. Aetna canceled starting January 1st, 2014. The most expensive policy I can find on the new marketplace is a better deal in terms of what's covered and the premium I'll be paying. Is that pretty common? Or is it all just case by case?
I think we're still figuring out how common it is and what the extent of the premium increases are for these individuals.
And Emily, is there any sort of premium cap, or can the insurance companies charge individuals? I mean, can the fees just keep going up?
Well, for 2014, we know how much insurance companies can charge, and I wouldn't necessarily call it a cap, but the plans offered on Covered California are also offered the same exact benefits and coverage are offered on the individual market at the same price. But of course, you can only get tax credits from Covered California. So what you see when you go to Covered California is the price you would pay. Now, it's not clear what's going to happen to premiums in 2015, whether more insurers will join or whether, you know, prices will go up or down. You did ask something earlier that I wanted to mention. You said who wins under the ACA. And from my perspective, it's really the people who see the most benefit, I would say, are either lower income or middle income up to a point. Let's not forget that Covered California is not the only means of expanding health coverage through the ACA. There's also the expansion of the Medicaid program in some states. In California, it's called Medi-Cal, and this is the health program for low-income residents. And yeah, California is expanding Medi-Cal, and it's raising the income threshold that so you can make more money to qualify for Medi-Cal. But almost more importantly, from my perspective, it's opening the program to single adults for the first time. And this means that people who don't have kids, you know, single males, single women, whoever, are going to be able to join, college students. And the last estimate I saw said that approximately 1.4 million Californians would be newly eligible for Medi-Cal.
Is the system prepared to deal with so many people joining Medi-Cal?
That's an excellent question. It may be a fodder for a different, you know, hour-long call or more. You know, I've written about access to Medi-Cal as it is. Currently, more than 8 million Californians belong to this program. It's huge. And while the state government says that access to doctors and hospitals that accept Medi-Cal is adequate, you hear a very different story on the ground from those doctors, from those hospitals who say they don't get paid enough by the program, and from the patients. I interviewed a kid in Bakersfield who had diabetes, and he had to see a specialist, but the closest specialist who accepted his program was 2 hours away, so they would have to drive 2 hours to a children's hospital to get seen for when he had to see a specialist.
That is Emily Baser. Sorry, go ahead, Emily.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but what I was going to just follow up and say is that so you have 1.4 million more people potentially coming into the system, and there's already concerns about access. So it's a big, important question, and that remains unknown.
That is Emily Baser, senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She covers healthcare policy in California with a focus on implementation of the new law. She also writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the Affordable Care Act. Laura Lucia is a policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, where she does research on the Affordable Care Act. And today we're opening the lines to take your questions and to hear your stories. If you've received one of these letters of cancellation, was there any alternative in that letter? And if you have used the Covered California website, and again, it's coveredca.com, coveredca.com. What was your experience like? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Lisa in Oakland. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So I'm calling about the expansion of Medi-Cal, and I think it's going to be actually 2 million more people are going to be added. I'm on Medi-Cal, and I can tell you that already it's a nightmare getting doctors. I've had to, it took almost a year to just find a pain doctor. Some of the doctors I went to, I really didn't even know they were doctors. They wouldn't do pain management because Medi-Cal doesn't reimburse them for more than 4 visits a year. So it's a nightmare. And they're going to be adding 2 million people. And at the same time, California is cutting reimbursements by 10%. California is already the lowest in reimbursements in the country. Hmm. So this isn't a maybe. This is a crisis that's going to happen. My doctor, my GP, who I had for 10 years, only took me at a charity. She basically told me she loses money seeing me. Wow. But she's leaving because she's going to Sutter, which I am beginning to see is I've already had 3 doctors from Sutter who said they're no longer going to be taking Medi-Cal. And so I think this is not just maybe. It's impossible to be having 2 million more people coming in with no new doctors and reimbursement actually being lowered from where it already was. So I think this is a huge issue that's going to affect, obviously, millions of people. And these are the people, many of whom are disabled or sick,
right,
were the sickest.
How long have you been on Medi-Cal?
I've been on for about a year when I lost my private insurance.
Okay, and that's when you saw a drastic change in what you were able to access.
Oh, absolutely. It's night and day. It has no relationship to Medicare, which is what people seem to think. Medi-Cal is for poor disabled people, and therefore the reimbursements, as I said, are negligible. And also, I mean, they're having some support for primary care physicians in this ACA Act to increase the reimbursements, but not for specialists. And, you know, you can go on the website and see the draconian cuts, the 10% cuts that are going to be happening on what was already the lowest in the nation. I mean, there are dental care for children that's no longer going to be covered. There's just an incredible crisis that's going to happen. And I just don't see the media or even nonprofit groups covering this efficiently.
Yeah, well, you know, we probably should do another hour just on Medi-Cal because, as you said, it's going to explode, at least in the states that are going to take funding from the government. And that's another story altogether, the states that are saying no. But what about Lisa's story, Laurel? I mean, she saw a drastic change in coverage when she started using Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm. And well, the coverage itself in Medi-Cal is good in terms of the benefits it covers, but there are access issues in a lot of areas in California for Medi-Cal beneficiaries.
So what choices does she have? Not many?
Can I tell you another thing?
Yeah, please.
If I choose to go on the exchange and buy insurance privately, I would have to pay the full rate and get no benefits because I have theoretically have insurance. And furthermore, when you're on Medi-Cal, you are not legally, other doctors are not allowed to take you if you are not within the system. So I couldn't even choose to go and pay out of pocket to see another doctor.
Wow.
Once you're on Medi-Cal.
So what are you planning to do?
Call radio stations.
Well,
my representatives. I mean, this whole issue on the 10% cuts is just it's actually united large insurance companies and doctors to fight for this. There's been a lot of demonstrations about this. There's a Supreme Court case that they're challenging the circuit court case that's going up to the Supreme Court. We'll see what happens with that. But I mean, even if the cuts didn't exist, it with having to, another 1 to 2 million people on it, it's just going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you. I'll add this to my story list because I think this needs more attention. Emily, do you have any tips for Lisa or people who are newly on Medi-Cal?
I wish I did. I'm sorry for the situation that Lisa's in, as she obviously knows what she's talking about. And sometimes just being your best advocate, just pressing as hard and as much as you can to get access is the way to go. But I know that there are barriers. As she says, there's a cut in reimbursement rates, and access in some places is very, very difficult. I wish I had better advice for Lisa.
All right. Well, we'll definitely add this to our show list. So thank you so much for calling in, Lisa. Let's take a few more calls before we go to break. Let's hear from, and sorry about your situation. Let's go to Brian in Napa. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I just finally turned the radio on. I know a lot about healthcare. My wife's a doctor. I have two sons who are doctors, and many in the extended family are doctors. And I have maybe too much knowledge for a short show like this. I have 6 points, and if you want me to expand on any of them, I will. But let me just give you 6 points that I think are important in the discussion. This law is a bad law. It cannot be fixed. It's in an entirely different approach must be taken to try to cut the cost of health care and make better health care in this country. This is the wrong approach. Government should be involved minimally, only with respect to the most helpless and needy in our society, not taking over all of health care for everybody. Because when government gets involved and the experts try to tell people how they should operate economically.
What about the VA? When it functions and is funded, they provide excellent care.
Actually, that's what you're told. But my family, my wife and my children, have done rotations through the VA hospitals, and the VA care is terrible. Now, for people who don't know any better, it's free.
All right. And you know, we actually have a bunch of other calls, so do you want to make a few of your other points just briefly?
Sure. One thing that's simple to understand is that if you have a good system, people will want to join it. People will flock to it. So why is it that in this plan, people are forced to buy this insurance? They're penalized if they don't. That's a good clue that there's something wrong with this system. People should not be forced to do something that they should want to do because it's good. A third point is that government destroys the patient-doctor relationship. This system sets up panels and experts to make decisions about what kind of health care people should have, how much they should have, who they should have it with, and all that. And that destroys the system. We have history has shown that when you have individual people making decisions with individual providers, you wind up in the end with the best system for each person.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. I mean, there's clearly something wrong with the system, right? I mean, how many people are uninsured at this point, Laurel? Do you know? I'm just looking
this
up.
It's about 6 million in California. I don't know the national
number. That's a huge number for a state, for one state.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with the caller that the system could be much better designed. This is not my ideal system. I think the single-payer system would actually be a much better system. But I think a lot of Californians and Americans are going to benefit from the system. And I think government does have a role to play in healthcare.
And as of 1 week ago, almost 180,000 people had created accounts on Covered California. So clearly, people are in dire need of health care. Today, we're talking about the ACA, and we're opening the lines to take your questions, and we'd also love to hear your stories. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
To join today's conversation, you can call 866-798-TALK, 866-798-8255, or send your question or comment via email to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll discuss media coverage of cuts to the food stamp program and possible cuts to Social Security. We'll also talk about the court case against ousted Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. And next week, we're putting shows together about ocean acidification and how the oceans work, transition towns, global movements against fracking, and we'll be joined by members of Greenpeace. The Rainbow Warrior ship is visiting the West Coast, and free tours are being held starting on Saturday. You can visit greenpeace.org for more information. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the Affordable Care Act. You might remember that President Obama in 2009 said, if you like your plan, you'll be able to keep your plan. But at least 3.5 million people have received cancellation letters because their plans do not meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. We're talking about things like maternity and newborn care, prescription drugs, preventive and wellness services, pediatric services like oral and vision care. And in California, we actually just got an email from a listener who says, I am one of the people who've received letters. We're writing to provide notice that your current individual plan will no longer be available to you after December 31st, 2013. This is from Blue Shield. She says, I'm self-employed. My rates are going up $148 and my coverage is decreasing. Well, you know, we just found an article in the San Jose Mercury News, and it says that Blue Shield has to wait 3 months to tell 80,000 customers that they're going to lose their coverage. So you might want to call them. I'll ask our guest about that today. Laurel Lucia is a policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, and Emily Bazar is a senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She also writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the Affordable Care Act. Emily, are you familiar with what's happening with Blue Shield?
You know, to be honest with you, I am not intimately, you know, familiar with that. Laurel might know more.
Do you know Laurel?
I do know that they are delaying the cancellation for certain Blue Shield plans, but I don't know if it's all of the plans.
Okay, so I'm a Blue Shield subscriber, but I was surprised by this because it says Blue Shield has to wait 3 months to give customers a reprieve. So maybe, Amanda, that letter is saying you've got 3 months to find a new plan, but you will be canceled because in 3 months, 80,000 people are going to be canceled under Blue Shield.
My understanding was that the Department of Insurance Commissioner, the Insurance Commissioner, Dave Jones, gave people 3 months into 2014. Isn't that correct, Laurel?
Yes.
So what does that mean?
So that means that they would be able to keep their plans through not just through 2013, but through March 31st, 2014. Now, again, this person who emailed will need to check with Blue Shield for sure to find out if they qualify for that 3 month extension.
Okay.
But the open enrollment period for Covered California and for the individual market ends on March 31st. So that means that they would need to sign up for a new plan before March 31st, 2014 at latest.
All right. Well, Amanda, I hope that helps. And I called Blue Shield and got through right away. So you might want to just call and ask your question. So thank you for the email. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We have an email from Rob who says, my monthly fees nearly doubled under individual Kaiser catastrophic care, a 95%, not 40% increase. Coverage is worse with respect to copays and the maximum annual out-of-pocket limits. The Covered CA website kicked me out, possibly because my income is too low, and said, try Medi-Cal. I tried for Alameda County, and the website said I don't qualify, apparently because I have savings of $100,000. I'm unemployed with no income and perceive that I will lose my catastrophic insurance. What are your thoughts, Emily?
Well, now, I know that the asset tests for Medi-Cal, which have kept people out of Medi-Cal if they had too many assets, too many, you know, own more than one house or one car, savings, that sort of thing, they're going away for some people. And I have heard from readers have emailed me, one in Fresno, one in Humboldt County, to say hey, I am going to be eligible for Medi-Cal under the expansion come January 1st. And as of October 1st, they were supposed to be able to kind of pre-enroll for that expansion starting on January 1st, but they've been having problems enrolling. They would go to the counties, and the counties would say, oh, we're not eligible. Well, yeah, they're not eligible now, but they will be eligible January 1st. So there are problems with Medi-Cal signups as well. And I wonder if that's the case that Rob or Rod is experiencing.
Any other tips for him and people like him?
Well, this asset test that Emily mentioned in the fact that the Affordable Care Act gets rid of it is really going to benefit a lot of people. I've gotten a lot of calls from people who are excited to find out that they're now eligible for Medi-Cal because they have low income, but they also have assets.
But then we heard Lisa's story. It's really hard to find a doctor. And they're not receiving the same reimbursements.
That's true.
So the system's going
through.
But yeah. The access issues in Medi-Cal, I think, do really vary by region and what kind of service you're seeking. There are a lot of Californians who are really happy with their Medi-Cal coverage.
All right. Well, we have to do a show about that. Thank you for the email, Rob. We have an email from Kelly. And I think this is also another one. I'm hearing this a lot from people who own their own small businesses. She or he writes, as an independent contractor, the statement that this will not impact the bulk of the population because most people are covered through work-based employment insurance really burns me. A lot more people are paying for their own insurance as we swing more towards contracting. I have paid for my own insurance for the last 10 years and have seen the rates for my Anthem PPO plan triple in the last 3 years. I'm looking into the new plans available. They seem to be beneficial for low to middle income folks, which is great. But as a middle plus income person, I have seen no help or qualification to help me get a reasonable plan. And she's right. Kelly's right. There are so many contractors now who have to buy their own insurance.
That's a very good point. I mean, still in California, we're still at a slim majority of people who receive insurance through their employers. I think it's something like 53 or 54% of people. But that percentage is going down. And as you say, there are more contractors, more people who have to buy on their own. But I think Kelly's point kind of reiterates something that I mentioned earlier. It's, you know, if you're low to middle income, a certain point of middle income, you'll get help. But over that threshold, you won't have the financial assistance under the ACA.
Yeah, in terms of the overall context, about 6% of Californians are currently buying their coverage through the individual market, and half of them are going to be eligible for subsidized coverage through Covered California or for Medi-Cal. And then it's those other 3% where it's still unclear how many will be worse off because of the Affordable Care Act or better off.
Right. And so as Kelly says, it's hard to get a reasonable plan, and this probably applies to a lot of contractors.
Yeah, who are in that, right. 3%.
All right. Well, thank you for the email, Kelly. Let's hear from Helene in San Francisco. Hi, welcome to the show. Hi, Helene. Are you with us? Helene wanted to say that she's a high income earner. She's been on a PTO for 25 years. Over the past few years, Blue Shield has tripled her rates. Wow. She's now paying over $28,000 a year for insurance.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
So that's probably, they're probably charging her more because of her health status, I would assume. And that's something that is going to change for the better under the Affordable Care Act. Insurers won't be able to vary rates anymore based on a person's specific health conditions. And so I would imagine she's going to see some significant savings starting January 1st.
Right. Or maybe a pre-existing condition was included in this plan.
Yeah. They were charged. Right. She somehow got into the plan despite a pre-existing condition. Maybe she got in when she was healthy, but the insurers raised her premium significantly when she got sick.
Wow. Well, if you're still listening, Helene, please call us back because I'd love to know what you're finding now on Covered California. And thanks for calling or trying to call. Let's go next to Homer in San Francisco. Hi, Homer. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering, my doctor has had me talk to a person for switching over my Medicare Medi-Cal into an HMO. And I'm wondering if this has any benefits or detriments in terms of what type of coverage I'm going to get, one. And two is it seems that it gives the doctors a better reimbursement amount and would free up the question that the caller previously said that there are no doctors.
Are you in Medicare and Medi-Cal at the same time?
Yes. And I'm also a senior.
Okay. Well, I'm not that familiar with how it works for people who are in both programs at the same time, but I know in Medicare, about a third of Californians get their Medicare through a managed care company like Kaiser. And some seniors prefer that because they might find more care coordination. And in some cases, the Medicare managed care plans offer some extra benefits that traditional Medicare doesn't offer.
Anything to add, Emily?
Homer, I think he's a part of a population that's called, in health policy wonk terms, a dual eligibles, meaning they're eligible for both Medicare and Medi-Cal. And I believe what may be going on with him is not related to the Affordable Care Act. There is a move in the state to put more of the people who are dual eligibles and frankly, more people who are on Medi-Cal into managed care. And that is, I'm not an expert in this, but it's sounding like that may be something that he's, part of, or, the state is wanting to do. And again, the experiences with managed care are mixed in those programs. The reason the state likes to do that is because it saves the state money.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Homer. Let's go next to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. So I've heard that there's going to be changes under the new Obama system that Medi-Cal is going to be more inclusive. Can you address that? What the new rules are, how it's going to be more inclusive?
Sure, I can address
this. Laurel.
Oh, go ahead, Laurel. Yeah, oh, sorry.
1.4 million Californians are expected to be newly eligible for Medi-Cal starting next year. These are mostly going to be childless adults who are currently not eligible for Medi-Cal right now. You either need to be a parent or a senior or disabled or a child. If you're not in one of those categories, no matter how low your income is, you're not eligible for Medi-Cal today generally. But starting January 1st, that's going to change.
And Emily, you wanted to add something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, again, this is the childless adults is going to open the program up to a lot of people. The asset tests going away and the increase in the amount of income, you can make up to 138% of the federal poverty level to join the program starting January 1st.
Thank you, Judy. And to everyone who's calling about Medi-Cal and Medicare, we definitely should do a show about how the system is going to deal with this influx of new patients. Because, again, Lisa, an earlier caller, said that she's having a heck of a time finding a doctor. And she switched from insurance to Medi-Cal, and it's been a pretty bad experience so far. So we should bring on some people who are making these decisions to find out how the system's going to cope with all of this. So thank you for calling, Judy. We were actually getting a lot of emails about Medi-Cal. Let's go next to Mike in San Jose. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, just a quick thought. I always thought it's kind of funny that people freak about the government handling health care and yet seem to be perfectly happy with insurance companies, whose business mantra is extract the most premium and give the least in benefits. So given the choice between the two, I don't have a problem with government health care if we could take the insurance companies out of the equation, although with the Affordable Care Act, apparently they're still in. But it just strikes me as funny that people don't want a government takeover and yet, they seem to be okay with insurance companies.
Well, they're definitely in. And according to Think Progress, they have a piece about profits going off the charts for health insurance companies. And a July 2010 report from PricewaterhouseCoopers concluded that the ACA will be a very lucrative new market for which the insurance companies stand to gain up to $200 billion in revenue by 2019. So $200 billion in the next 6 years. So thank you for calling in, Mike. Let's go next to Larissa in Oakland. Hi, Larissa.
Hi, my name is Larissa, and I just wanted to call to say that I just had health insurance under Kaiser through their HMO through a COBRA plan from my employer, and I went through Covered California, and at my rates, I got a better plan, and my rates ended up being more than 40% lower, went from $480 to $300 a month. With some subsidy. And I wanted to also call because I heard that person, Rod, say that he had difficulty with the online version of Covered California, and I just called them, and they answered right away, and they were able to process my application on the phone rather than online, and they found the subsidies that I needed that worked for me, and I encouraged him to call them.
Okay, and I'll give out that phone number, but first, Larissa, why were you paying $480 a month? That's really high.
Well, I have a pre-existing condition, so I knew that I needed a pretty comprehensive plan in case of surgeries or other things that I might need.
Yeah, so I mean, $480 to $300 is a huge savings.
Yeah, yeah, and so, but I think it's a good example of how in this individual market, everyone's being affected differently, and it really
right.
I really advise people to go check out all their options, because initially they may think that they're worse off because of the letter they get in the mail from their insurance company. But if they go and Covered California, they might find that there's a better deal for them.
So for Larissa, it's great. But then someone like, you know, if we're paying $150 and it says $280, I mean, that's gives you sticker shock and says, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder if you just want to pay the fine, which, of course, you don't, because you need catastrophic coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to just continue getting catastrophic coverage, or do you have no choice at this point? Because I know a lot of people who cannot afford health care say, well, I need that at least. And you can find it somewhat at a decent price. Is that still possible?
Well, Covered California is offering catastrophic plans for people who are under age 30, and then also for people who don't have an offer of affordable coverage, either through their job or through Covered California. And there's a very specific definition of what affordable coverage is there. And those plans are catastrophic plans that will show up on the Covered California website if you're eligible for them.
You know, the other question is, I was looking at, when I looked again, if you go to coveredca.com and hit preview plans, so the lowest that comes up for me under Chinese community plan, which I've never heard of, is $234, and then Anthem Blue Cross $283. Keep going up, and I mean, you can hit, let's see, Blue Shield $445. So what are the differences here? There's another one that goes up to $600, Health Net. What are the major differences?
Can I take that
one? Sure, Emily.
Okay, thanks. So one thing your listeners need to know is that all of the plans offered on Covered California offer the same benefits. So they're standardized benefits. They're not going to get something different with different plans. What's different is how much of the medical services each plan will pay. So there are four tiers of plans offered through Covered California, and they call them the metal tiers: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Mm. And bronze is the cheapest monthly premium, but it covers the least amount of your medical costs. It covers approximately 60% of your medical costs on average. Silver covers 70, gold covers 80, platinum covers 90. But then when you get to platinum, you know, you're paying less out of pocket for your medical services, but you are paying more per month. So that may be the for your monthly premium. That may be the difference that you're seeing there.
Okay, so if you don't go to the doctor much and you're relatively healthy, you should probably choose bronze. But then if you do, is that the way to go about this?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, how do you know if you're going to get into a car accident? I mean, there is an out-of-pocket maximum. It's approximately $6,400 for an individual and $12,000-something for a family with the bronze plan. So you know that'd be your maximum. Hmm. But can you afford that? I don't know. It's a good question.
Because it's a huge gap. I mean, $234 to $610. Mm-hmm. That's a huge gap for a monthly premium.
Well, and the Covered California...
Just one more thing. Yeah. If you have a chronic disease, for instance, and you know you have... Oh, yeah, you make a good point. I'm kind of reiterating what you're saying in a different way, which is if you have a chronic disease and you have to see the doctor frequently, maybe the platinum is better for you than if you're not going to the doctor that often.
Right, right. Like, for example, our last caller, Larissa, who's got a pre-existing condition, she should probably get a better plan.
Depends.
But again, that's personal choice.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and the Covered California website has tools on there that can help you choose between these different plans. You can estimate, like, oh, I expect I'm going to have 2 prescriptions this year. I'm going to have 5 doctor's visits. And it'll estimate for you what your total cost for healthcare will be, both the monthly premium and how much you'll pay in co-pays and deductibles. And so you can make a kind of educated guess about which plan will be best for you.
Right. And again, you cannot be discriminated against because of a pre-existing condition.
Right.
And that's a huge factor in all of this. Okay, that is Laura Lucia, policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center, and Emily Bazar is a senior writer with the Center for Health Reporting. She writes a biweekly column called Ask Emily, which answers readers' questions about the Affordable Care Act. If you'd like to ask Emily and Laurel questions, or if you'd like to share your personal stories, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website. Oh, and I said I was going to give the phone number. So again, it's coveredca.com, and the phone number is 800-300-1506. 800-300-1506. And I'll give this again at the end of the show. Bob in Southern California couldn't stay on. But he wanted to know, we just covered this, if Covered California has catastrophic insurance plans. So yeah, we covered that.
Yeah, for people under age 30 and for those that don't have an affordable offer.
Right. And what are the prices?
It'll vary based on age and region, like all of the plans. But it'll be somewhat cheaper than the bronze plan.
Okay.
In most cases.
All right. Let's go back. We've got a number of emails. Let's see. Carl says, I'd like to hear an informed opinion on the accuracy of claims that some large fraction of the currently insured will have their rates raised, in some cases significantly, so that the insurance companies can, quote, afford to cover people with pre-existing conditions. So what about that? The insurance companies say, well, we have to cancel you because we can't meet these 10 categories like emergency services, maternity and newborn care. And in order to provide this to you, we have to raise your premiums. Is there validity in that, Laurel?
Well, first of all, when we talk about the insurance companies raising premiums, most people in private insurance are in the job-based market. And job-based premiums, of course, have been a big topic for workers and unions and employers over the last few years. And those premiums are continuing to grow each year, but the growth has slowed, and it's unclear how much of that is due to the Affordable Care Act. But in terms of the individual market, insurers are being truthful, I think, when they're saying that they need to raise premiums because now they have to offer insurance to everyone. Sick people were kept out of the market before, and they are going to have more costs. And so those higher costs are being spread across the entire market.
What would you say, Emily, at a time when the health insurance industry is posting record profits and healthcare stocks lead the S&P 500 for the first time in 15 years?
Yeah, well, there's no question that they're making a ton of money and that the Obamacare is a really good thing for insurers. There's no question about that. I agree with Laurel, I do think there's some validity to this idea that there are new burdens being placed on insurers. They have to accept people who have pre-existing conditions. They also can't charge someone who is older, you know, as much as they want to charge. There's a limit on how much they can charge compared to the youngest person, which is three times more. They have to offer maternity coverage. They can't charge women more than men. There are a lot of new insurance market rules, and that does affect price.
All right. We have time for a few more calls and emails. Let's hear from Rosalyn in Monterey. Hi, Rosalyn.
Hi. I have a couple things. So I feel like I'm in a little bit of a specific category. I'm going to be turning 26 in December, which is coming up in just a couple weeks. And I'm right now on my mother's health insurance plan. And also, I'm a student, and I'm a commission-based job. So I definitely didn't work as much and make as much money as I did the previous year. And so what I'm wondering is if it's better for me to wait until after the new year to see what my income level was, check out my student status, and then also that I'm turning 26, if I'm going to lose the coverage from my mother's workplace plan. So that's one question.
All right, let's take that one first. Laurel?
Okay. That's a hard one. So I assume your coverage through your mother's plan is probably going to end at the end of the year, if that's when her employer-based plan ends. I guess you could check out right now if you're eligible for Medi-Cal based on your current income, because that's what the Medi-Cal program uses, is your current income today. And so you might be eligible for that as of January 1st. If not, you can enroll for Covered California anytime between now and March 31st. And you won't owe a tax penalty as long as you get coverage by then. So you do have some time, but if you want to get covered as soon as possible, you need to enroll by December 15th for your coverage to be effective January 1st.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm sorry, Rosalind, we're almost out of time. We just have about a minute left, and we're definitely going to continue doing follow-up shows before the deadline is what is the deadline? January?
Well, there for what?
Oh, yeah. There are several. Okay, what's the most important deadline?
I would say December 15th, as Laurel said, you need to sign up if you want your coverage to begin January 1st. However, open enrollment does last into 2014, March 31st, 2014. Now, if you sign up, for instance, before the 15th, I believe it is, of the month, like if you sign up January 13th, your coverage would begin February 1st. But if you sign up after the 15th of the month, if you sign up on January 20th, your coverage wouldn't begin February 1st, but March 1st. So you got to keep that in mind.
Okay.
March 31st is the drop dead, and December 15th is if you want to get signed up for January 1st.
And just quickly, Emily, besides your column, is there a really good place to go to get these questions answered, just briefly?
My column, of course. Well, yeah, there are a lot of resources out there.
Can you just give us a really good one that's easy? Because a lot of people don't have time.
You know, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You can say it.
I was going to say.
KQED has done good coverage on this?
I'm not just plugging my column, but if you go to our website, which is centerforhealthreporting.org, we actually link to a couple of Obamacare resource guides.
Okay, great. That's
and
great.
So people can find that there.
It's all about good information, regardless of where it comes from. Thank you. Emily Bazar,
exactly.
She writes the column Ask Emily and writes for the Center for Health Reporting, and Laurel Lucia is a policy analyst at the UC Berkeley Labor Center. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss media coverage of cuts to the food stamp program and possible cuts to Social Security. We'll also discuss the court case against ousted Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. We'll be joined by the Huffington Post's Arthur Delaney, the LA Times' Michael Hiltzik, and McClatchy's Nancy Youssef. What did you see the best reporting this week? Join the conversation and call in with your questions on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.